Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Video Heroes, a podcast of movie news and movie reviews. I'm Austin, here with my co-host Anthony.
Hello.
I don't know, we've got a ton of stuff. We had a baby, so
that's why
it's been a few weeks.
Yeah. So we've seen quite a few movies, we have some movie news. Who knows what we'll talk about today?
Yeah.
It'll be wild.
Go at this random.
Do you have anything to start us out with, or do you want me to?
How about this one? It's kind of an older piece of news, but I do want to know your take. The Moana trailer, the new, I don't think it's Pixar, I think it's just the Disney.
It's just Disney, yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts? Has it been that long? Okay, yeah.
Like, it's an old piece of news, but...
I hate that trailer.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think the movie's going to be bad, but I think that trailer sucks.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, I feel like other Disney trailers have, especially their teasers, I feel like have done a lot to get people excited. Like, for example, the teaser for Frozen had Olaf and that reindeer, like, fighting over the carrot.
Mm-hmm.
And kids would laugh about it and stuff. And, I mean, I've seen a few kids' movies in the past few weeks, and every time there's the trailers for all these loud, crazy DreamWorks movies...
Mm-hmm.
And kids are always laughing, and the trailer ends, and they go, "Dad, can I see this?" or whatever. But that one ends, and kids are just silent, generally. Like, okay,
it's kind of
boring. It's not very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not paying attention to movies, you don't realize, like, oh, this is the next, like, Disney princess movie. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So what, you know? I'm sure it'll still be fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I hate that trailer.
Yeah. No. Really was just, oh, okay.
It's kind of weird.
It doesn't pique my interest.
It's kind of weird that they're throwing Maui, the Rock's character, into the foreground, though. The girl, like the titular character, was barely in it. I thought that was interesting.
Does she even have a line at all?
She, like, shrugs. She, like, looks at a pig at one point. But I thought that was kind of...
It was all on...
I thought that was kind of weird. It was also weird. I didn't realize that he's playing... Maui is like an actual mythological character from like Pacific Island mythology.
So that's, oh, really?
Yeah, kind of, you know, like Hercules. Like,
yeah.
They didn't make it up. I think that's cool.
Oh, okay. So, I thought they had.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's kind of neat.
Done some sort of research. What you got?
Let's see. Da, 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 da.
All right, well, how about this one? Speaking of Dwayne Johnson.
Okay.
Universal's is looking to star him in a Wolfman movie.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah,
yeah, I did see
that. That's an old piece of news, but...
Yeah, I'm mad about it. I don't even care. Like, go
you
back.
You want him as the Wolfman?
I've already done my rant about the Universal Monsters.
We have, but every time this shows this, like, your prediction was that they were going to try to create... a cinematic universe,
the Avengers,
of monsters.
Meaning, but like the Avengers, in that it's funny and famous people, not monsters like they should be.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it won't work. But now it's just like,
look,
yeah. They've cast this one. They have Russell Crowe potentially doing Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like, we've talked about this in previous.
And then Johnny Depp as the Invisible Man, and who's in The Mummy? The Mummy's a girl, and I don't remember who it
is.
Remember.
It wasn't the.
But Tom Cruise is like just a human in that movie.
Yeah. So far,
terrible.
They're playing into your hands.
And also, like, who knows if Dracula Untold is even still a part of this?
Yeah.
That movie. Yeah. Terrible. Terrible. Terrible.
Not crazy about it.
Let's see. Did you see? There was a few weeks ago. There was like a slew of Power Rangers movie news. There was a. Poster?
Remember a poster, yeah.
There it is right
which
here.
Which is very cool.
You think that's a cool poster?
Yeah, I do like it.
I hate it.
Really?
I mean, I'm not against it. It's cool because I'm a fan. But, like, this poster's terrible if you're not a fan. It doesn't show you what it is.
Who doesn't know Power Rangers is the thing? Like,
well,
it
here's
plays
the thing.
Off of that.
So for everyone at home, the poster, down on the bottom of the poster, is there's a car and... teenagers are standing around. It's
a silhouette, yeah.
And there's teenagers standing on top of it and one off of it. I think the one off of it is the Red Ranger. But anyway, they're just teenagers. They're not in costume or anything, and it's just silhouette. Up above is the night sky, and it says, "Together we are more." And then there's, like, a lot of the stars have kind of coalesced to sort of form the shape of, like, the Power Rangers lightning bolt. But my problem is you're saying, yeah, people know Power Rangers. I agree if it says Power Rangers or shows the Power Rangers, they know it. This is banking on people knowing this lightning bolt well and associating that with Power Rangers rather than with rather than with like the Flash or any other random thing. I think you can do that with some superheroes like Batman, obviously. If you just put a bat silhouette up, everyone thinks Batman.
Right.
If you do that with Superman, everyone thinks Superman. This is just a lightning bolt, and there's nothing here to clue you in on it being Power Rangers, other than at the bottom it says Power Rangers movie hashtag or something like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so as a productional or
for promotion, I think it's bad. Promotional
technique, awful.
But I think it is.
I still
cool.
think it's cool.
It is cool. I agree. And then also the other big news was they cast Zordon as Bryan Cranston.
Right, they did,
which is super interesting.
Do you think they will shave his head and have him?
I don't know, or maybe it'll be CGI. Maybe it'll be CGI.
Do you think they'll have the floating head, or do you think they're going to try something different?
I hope they
because they want something grittier. How do you make Zordon a gritty?
I don't know.
More gritty.
Do you think they'll have like his robot?
Alpha 5. That's the thing. I need to know if Alpha 5 is going to be in there.
But they haven't mentioned. No, I don't know. I don't know. I think that maybe they'll just go CGI and he'll just do voice work, maybe, or like motion cap, because he's done a lot of voice work. He voices. Just watched something he was in. He voiced Commissioner Gordon in Batman Year One, and he's really good. And also, this is kind of a thing that I don't think a lot of people know, but maybe they do now. It's been a few weeks, and I've seen this passed around the internet. But Bryan Cranston voiced monsters in Power Rangers, in the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So it's kind of like come full circle, because he did it when the show first started. He, you know.
Oh, really?
You know, the monsters all have dumb voices, and he did some of those, yeah. So now he's coming to do Zordon. It's cool.
Neat.
It's really cool. And obviously he's a fantastic
actor. I have no problem with them casting him. I do love Bryan Cranston.
Oh, I did have The Rock as Wolfman written down. There it is. I forgot.
Can't you just see that? It's
stupid.
Because, I mean, the original Wolfman, I was terrified. Anytime, like, the music that they'd play whenever he was transforming, I couldn't handle it. It was so scary.
Yeah.
Can't see that happening with this.
No. No, and it's a hard.
Not in the least.
It's a hard thing to hit because they remade the Wolfman, I think in 2009 or 2010, and it's
with Van Helsing.
No, it's just the Wolfman.
Oh, I don't remember that.
You were in Hawaii.
That would do it.
But it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's R-rated, and they do this slasher thing with it that is just dumb because it's this man running around in really cool makeup. I don't know. The thing about the monster movies is that they're scary more in, like, tone, not in, like, people getting ripped apart.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, they're not going to go that route even at all. They're just going to be fun.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, well.
What do you got?
I don't want to go into detail about this because it's really starting to bug me, but we've gotten, over the last several weeks, several more casting announcements for Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
All of them are mystery roles. We do not know, other than who will be playing Peter Parker and Aunt May in this movie, we know nobody.
It's really weird that they keep announcing these.
Right? Like, what is the
there was
point,
one, there was
guys?
One yesterday, and I was just like, what is the... Yeah, they're all
It
these...
doesn't excite us at all. It's like, so-and-so is going to be in this movie. A, I don't even know who that person is.
Yeah, and they're all kids. They're all little kids.
It means nothing to me. And then I don't even know what character they're going to play, so I don't know what to get excited for.
Did you see, though, there was set photos about a week ago that they released?
I saw that they were supposed to be, and I kept seeing is that weird little Peter Parker chair, and that's it.
Oh, no. There are pictures of him. More? Yeah, of him, like, running around in a city. but he's
doing Spidey things.
No, he's in a Spider-Man costume. But what's interesting about it is, like, the mask doesn't fit him. Like, it looks like if you just put, like, a sock on your head, you know, and it's all, like, crumply and weird looking. So I guess, like, the whole head is CGI. I mean, obviously, because it has those goggle things on it. But it's really funny looking because it looks so dumb.
Huh.
But, yeah. Speaking of set photos, we were actually just talking about this kind of off mic, but, Power Rangers has released, or not Power Rangers, Transformers has released a bunch of set photos.
Yeah.
And I haven't clicked many of them, but I did see this one. It has, like, practical effects. There's, like, this, like, Vespa turning into a robot. That's weird. Good going, Mike.
Oh,
Michael
boy.
Bay. Also, news, I know you don't really particularly care about this, although I want to do an episode about these and make you care. But
what?
Alien, the next Alien movie.
Yeah.
Well, so Prometheus.
You're not even excited about this. Like, every time we talk about it, you hate Alien. Why do you want to do it?
Because I love the first two. I love Alien. I'm just invested in that. I don't. I'm mad about where it's gone, but I'm invested. No, but what's funny is, so this next one is a sequel to, it's a prequel to the Alien movies, but a sequel to Prometheus, which was the last prequel to the Alien movies. And not to get into too many like spoilers or whatever about Prometheus, but pretty much the main character in Prometheus survives to the end of the movie, and now they're making this sequel, and for the longest time she wasn't cast in the sequel, and she just was like a week ago. And they've been shooting this movie for a while now. That's super weird.
What are they shooting? Without the main character?
Just aliens running about?
Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I thought you'd find that just a little interesting. Like,
well, that's just weird in general.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have to care about the movie.
Exactly,
weird.
Really weird.
So what exactly are you shooting, Mr. Ridley?
He's the worst. Did you see The Martian? We talked about this?
I don't think we've talked about...
Have you seen it?
The Martian?
Yeah. Like Matt Damon?
I haven't seen it. I wanted to.
It's okay.
I know, I'm back and forth. Like, one minute I'm like, yeah, I really want to see this. And then the next one I'm just like, I really could care less.
It's okay. But, like, Ridley Scott came in and directed that, like, at the last minute. Like, it was all ready to go, pretty much. And he's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so it's great, but I don't think it has anything to do with him. Like, he's a hack.
He just did it for whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one.
Okay.
I don't want to specifically designate that this is more for our female listeners, but since our female listeners care more about this than most male listeners that I come to find, they are making a movie for the Broadway musical Wicked.
Yeah, they've been talking about that forever.
Yeah.
Does it have like a date now or anything? Do you know?
No. Mm. I just saw the announcement for it and I was just like, great.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, I love musicals. Like, don't get me wrong, guys. I did theater. I love doing musicals. I have a great time. I'm just not big on making them into movies because rarely do they do the production justice.
It
never looks as impressive on film as it does on stage.
They're hard to translate. I think it's interesting how I think some movies translate really well to musicals, like, let's say Disney movies, for example, like Beauty and the Beast.
Sure.
Things that are already musicals go to the stage really well, I feel like. And even things that aren't already musicals seem to go to the stage pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way around, I've seen maybe none that impress me.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've done several, and, like, the music, while good, sure, it just struggles. Like, Into the Woods, did you ever see that?
Yeah, kind of. I've been in the room
while it was playing. On. Okay. Yes. So that is one of my favorite musicals, and I was super excited to see it. And it's not terrible, but it is still a letdown.
There wasn't enough adultery in the film version.
Something, man. I wanted that grittiness.
Yeah, the play has.
Ugh.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
It was a letdown. So it's like, yeah, this is a huge Broadway hit. It's been around for a long time. Now they're doing it in a movie, and it's just like, eh. I know a lot of people will be excited and they'll go see it and the music will probably be great, but...
Yeah.
Eh, whatever. I'm not too big.
Okay, this is kind of big. No, I'll save this for later.
Okay.
This is kind of small then. Pacific Rim 2 got a release date for February 2018. So it's kind of weird. It's in February rather than in the summer. But we were actually just talking about this before we hit record, that Pacific Rim got beat when it came out in the summer, at least in America. It did really well overseas, but in America, it didn't attract the summer audiences they thought it would. So now it's going to February. Not really a bad thing, because Deadpool came out last February and did fantastic. So,
yeah.
So, but it's just kind of an interesting move.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Also set for 2018, we got Disney announced Wreck-It Ralph 2 is coming out in 2018, and they released some concept art with it.
How long has it been since Wreck-It Ralph came out?
This kind of 4 years, I think. I think because it was election day, presidential election day, and we found out the results when the movie ended.
Hmm. I don't know. This goes into our review that we'll do later of Finding Dory, of the amount of time Disney takes to do sequels.
Yeah. Well, I'm okay with them taking a long time for this one. personally. I didn't really need more Wreck-It Ralph right away. Although I love that movie.
Yeah, I do love Wreck-It Ralph, but I'm not craning my neck for a sequel.
The premise this time around is that they're going into the internet, I guess. Because the concept art shows him kind of standing on top of the world, and there's like all these computers connected, and you see sites like Google and Lubhub, and Google is spelled with like a U and an umlaut, so they're like parodies of real websites.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting.
All right. Here's some disappointing news. There will be no invisible jet in the Wonder Woman
yeah,
movie.
I saw that. That is disappointing.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, what, you guys couldn't pull off that as a gritty aspect for an Amazonian princess?
Well, so recent versions... So, in the comics originally, Wonder Woman couldn't fly, but she can now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cited as a big reason that they don't do the jet anymore.
All right.
But a lot of versions, the jet... because Wonder
Does
Woman...
she fly at all in Batman v Superman? Actually, jumps really hard.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just attribute that to her strength.
What happens in the comics recently is that, because the story of Wonder Woman is that she's stuck on Themyscira or Paradise Island, which is like an island of women cut off from the rest of the world, and a soldier in a plane crashes during wartime, crashes onto their island, and sort of kind of ruptures the peace there, and she escorts him back to, I don't know, our world or whatever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stories now have him crash his plane and he can't repair it, but they can with like their technology, and that's why it's invisible, because they're just like, oh, cloaking, sure, and they do. And I don't know why you couldn't do that. I guess it's in World War One, so maybe they're like, that's weird. I don't know. I'm disappointed though, because that my favorite. I've said this on our review for Batman and Superman, but she's my favorite part of that movie.
Yeah,
and. My favorite thing that she does is when she has the lasso of truth and she like lassos Apocalypse, because that's so corny, but it looked so rad, and I was just like, yes,
yeah,
do it. Yeah, yeah.
But that's draw the line with the invisible jet.
Yeah, bummer.
Yeah.
The director's cut of that, the ultimate cut of that movie is out now, Batman Superman.
Yeah.
And it pretty
Our
much
R-rated doesn't... version. Which
yeah, yeah. So
sure makes it so much better.
Yeah. So like we said, or like I said. Mm-hmm. The R is pretty much just a bunch of added blood.
Yeah.
So, like, I watched the Batman scene where he's in the warehouse. Oh, boy. He kills all those people. he slams them against walls, and blood is just smearing on the wall as they're falling.
Oh, jeez.
You're just like, what on earth, Zach? But other than that, there's no real changes. Like, the changes are all minor. And the mm-hmm. big one is the one that we've already talked about, where Lex Luthor sees that alien, who mm-hmm. I guess now is Steppenwolf. Rather than Darkseid, he's Steppenwolf is Darkseid's uncle for the Justice League villain. Really stupid. They also did, Zack Snyder did a thing. They flew a bunch of press out a few weeks ago to England to look at some Justice League stuff. And it's interesting because they really only invited people who really criticized the last movie. And they're like trying to, it seemed that the thing they were trying to show this time around was, look how fun it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed him a few scenes, one where Bruce Wayne goes and recruits the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And it all sounds like a big ripoff of the Marvel movies, so I will tell you that. Like, the scene is apparently Bruce shows up at the Flash's house, and he's like, hey, you're a superhero, come join us or whatever. And the Flash is like, no, I'm not. And then Bruce, like, just takes out a batarang and hucks it at him, and he grabs it, and he's like, whoa. And apparently also, like, it's just like Spider-Man, like... He has a crappy Flash outfit, and Bruce is going to make him, like, a good one. Stuff like that.
Oh,
stupid. You don't need to be a Marvel movie. You can be your own thing. You just can't be murdering and sad and terrible. The thing is, when we were kids, DC was, like, the nice version of superheroes. And Marvel was, like, the brooding, deconstructive, you know, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except for DC always has had Batman, and Batman is always... darker, you know.
Right.
But you don't need to make the whole thing that way, and you don't need to make dark doesn't mean murder, like terrible.
No, you have to punch them, and when you punch them, their head explodes.
Terrible.
Naturally.
And we're getting close to Suicide Squad now. I'm not excited, but I'm so interested to see what this turns into.
See, like, I'm just saying, like, my hype that I had for it has died out because they've dragged this out for so long. Like, it's the same feeling I have for The Secret Life of Pets, where they went way too long with this, and now, like, all that they can release now because they've already released so much footage. Yeah. They're just doing pictures and cover magazine photos. And I'm just like, I don't care about any of those. I know exactly what they look like. You guys did this backwards. You should have done that first and then footage now to keep up the hype. Right now, I'm just like, whatever. I'm curious to see if all those reshoots that they did are actually going to make this any good.
Yeah, I'm not the thing is, I'm not big on it either, but what I have seen looks good-ish. It looks interesting. It's always looked good to me. Sure. But the thing is, this is just such a terrible franchise at this point that really I just don't care.
Probably the thing that's piqued my interest the most, and this came from having seen Tarzan, was Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that she is the one who plays Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And she was phenomenal in Tarzan. Yeah,
so she's one of the best female actors
absolutely
around. Yeah.
So that piqued my interest probably more than anything of like, all right, I am thoroughly impressed. Like just having seen this performance and then seeing from all the promotional, I'm having a hard time with that word, all the promotional material that they've released for Suicide Squad of her, I'm just like, hey,
yeah,
I'm actually thoroughly impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's got me more excited, if anything.
But
I could say that.
But what I'm actually probably most excited for right now, as we've gotten close to it, suddenly I've kind of caught the bug, is the next Star Trek. And there's some big news about this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But just hang on. I'm not going to gush about it.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that there's some news came out this week that's hilarious to me. They announced that Hikaru Sulu, who's the, the helmsman for the Enterprise, is going to be gay in the new movie, is going to kind of come out as gay. And they're doing this because originally he was played by George Takei, who is very openly gay and a huge voice for LGBT rights and so on and so forth. So they're kind of homaging him and saying, you know, his character is gay or whatever. So they announced this and people were pretty excited about it. And I'm kind of a Trekkie and I was like, okay, that makes sense, I guess. And Star Trek is all about inclusion and kind of a future where people just accept people for who they are. The first show broke ground by having Asians and African Americans and Russians all working on the crew together. It's always been about this progressiveness. So I was like, okay, cool, that makes sense. But George Takei then came out and said he finds this very unfortunate, and which is hilarious. He's like one of the biggest proponents of LGBT normalizing LGBT people in communities. And he's like, this is just twisting the original intent of the original creator, Gene Roddenberry. If you wanted gay characters, you know, you should have just made a new character, because Sulu's been straight and he always has been. Like, I played him as a straight man. And then he went on and said that for months he's been telling the people on the set of Star Trek not to do this. Don't do this, because he's against it.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious.
And they just did it anyway.
Yeah, they did it anyway. And they, you know, Simon Pegg said, look, I have to respectfully disagree. He kind of publicly said this. Although Zachary Quinto, Spock, then came out and kind of lambasted George Takei and said that he's very disappointed in him for being this way or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just think it's, who could have seen this? Or who could have foreseen this? It's funny. So... It's been entertaining to watch.
Just to see this chaos.
I just think it's funny because the guy that they did this for specifically, I mean, they're doing it for any gay or trans person.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it for them so that they can feel, you know, included and like there's hope for the future for them or whatever. But ultimately, the man that they're paying homage to doesn't care and is against it.
Oh my gosh.
So funny. But anyway, no, yeah, I mean, I, like I said, I haven't been super excited about this, but now that it's like a few weeks away, I've kind of caught the bug for it, and I'm like, oh yeah, so
yeah.
Star Trek. I like Star Trek.
As it's gotten closer, I've gotten less and less interested. Like, as they come out with they had like a new trailer that came out a few weeks ago, and I was just like, I really don't care.
I think the
new trailer that they did with the new Rihanna song.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even watch the trailers this close to it.
This is so dumb, you guys. This, what is this? I don't care.
Nah, it's great. Ugh. It's gonna be great.
Whatever.
Anyway, that's all the news I've got.
I'm trying to think of that new Jack Reacher trailer.
Didn't watch it.
I hated the first one. Like, the bits and pieces that I saw,
This
looks just the same.
Yeah, yeah.
He really grosses me out. There's a new Pete's Dragon trailer. We got a good
look
at the dragon.
Yeah, there was.
He is fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like he is going to be more friendly-ish.
Yeah, yeah. It's still a weird trailer, though. It's still a trailer that doesn't show anything. Mike, again, my question for this, you asked this about Jungle Book.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a musical? Because the original Pete's Dragon is straight up a musical. It's not like Jungle Book that just has a few songs. Like, it is a musical.
Right.
Ready for Broadway.
See, I want to say that this is a musical, because, I mean...
It doesn't show anything.
It looks nothing like a musical.
Yeah.
In the least.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks far too serious. Like, while I still think that they're going to have...
It looks a lot like E.T. Lighthearted,
family-friendly thing, like, it definitely seems more intense. So, like, there's an actual dragon in our modern day.
It looks like E.T., doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that... Yep. I say that's actually a pretty good description.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Kind of a minor thing, but something that I'm interested in is they cast Superman in the Supergirl
TV
series. Mm-hmm. They cast Tyler Hoechlin. I have no idea who the guy is.
I don't remember who he is. I looked it up, but it's been a while.
I have no idea who he is. But the piece of that is they are now casting Superman. Like, he's had bits and pieces in season one of emailing Kara. He has a few times
where
he shows
up. Have you watched
this
now, or did you just read this?
I've read this, but okay. I've like gone in and watched on YouTube some episodes. And
okay.
I still don't think I'll actually watch it, because I'm not interested in the TV show.
Yeah.
But this interests me, because I love Superman. I've been curious if they'll actually try and do another Superman TV show, having done Smallville. And with casting him... I wonder if that's their intention with... Because they've done this whole DC universe on TV
Kind of done it. Because the problem is they shot themselves in the foot, because they've done this thing where, like, The Flash and Green Arrow and John Constantine, like, all exist in their own world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another dimension where Superman is now. But now all these shows are on the same channel. It's a bummer that they couldn't just do it all together.
So it's a mess how they have it, and it's probably, I don't know. It has my curiosity of, are we going to get some more Superman? Because I know that they're doing the Krypton TV show,
Boo.
Which is stupid as can be, and I have zero interest in that.
Yeah.
But I'd love a Superman TV show. Because, I mean... Still today, as cheesy as Smallville was, I'm still standing that's probably some of the best Superman we've had on screen. I don't know how to describe it. Like,
some
the
of the best Clark.
Moments.
I'd say some of the best Clark moments.
Well, yeah, it's absolutely like
there's no
some of the best Superman character. Like, it captures the essence of Superman probably the best.
Yeah, character-wise.
Yes, character-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily.
It doesn't come with any of the joy. I'd say, you know, Superman is, I'd say, 50-50. 50% joy in the action, in the flying, and in the wonder there, and then 50% in his moral character.
Right.
And, yeah, Smallville doesn't have any of the former. It has the character.
No, it has the character, which I love. And they nailed that on the head so many times, and I'd love to see more of that since Zack Snyder's taking my guy and just...
Yeah,
driving him through the sludge. I want to see a good Superman. And so I hope that that's what they're going to go for, like have him introduced into this, and that's how they'll introduce him into their little...
Yeah.
I don't know what you want to call that little universe of theirs, but whatever they're
the
trying
little
to do.
League. The little Justice League.
And then kind of be like, all right, cool, we can do this. We can branch him out.
It's weird that they can do this, because with Smallville, we've talked about this before, in Smallville they were going to introduce Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know it specifically, but there's a story arc where Clark meets this guy who's kind of traveling around, and it was always building to the end, that guy revealing that he's actually a young Bruce Wayne traveling the world, and he's been traveling under different names.
Mm-hmm.
But at the last minute, they changed it because Batman Begins had come out, and so they changed it so that he wasn't anybody, he was just some guy. And it's weird now that DC seems to be so free that now we can have a Flash in the movies and in the TV show and a Superman in the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I'm glad.
Right? Like, don't have a problem with them doing this. Like, there are some fans, and we've mentioned this before, there are some fans that were upset that Grant Gustin, who plays the Flash in the TV series, wasn't cast
as
the Flash in the new Justice League movies. But it's not a problem. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't have a big deal. So if they were to do a Superman TV show and still have
Henry
Cavill doing his thing.
Yeah, come on, guys. You don't want TV Flash in that universe.
You like, really don't.
If you love him, you don't want him over there.
It will ruin him thoroughly. No, I'd much prefer to stay with the TV rather than what
Can you imagine Ben Affleck throwing batarangs at him? So much aggression.
Trying to prove, no, you are a hero. This is how I know. Yeah. This is how I'll trick you into proving it. Oh. Why don't he just, like, grab his, like, woman of interest, whether it's his mother, his aunt, his girlfriend, and, like, throw her out a window, like, save her. Like, that just seems more fitting for a Zack Snyder.
Sure. Charade. Oh, that's true. That would have been, that should have been like, a scene in that
versus,
movie.
Versus, like, throwing a batarang, it would be, I'm going to cause...
Yeah,
one of your loved ones to nearly die.
Lex does that in the movie, right? He pushes Lois off of the building.
Yeah, and Superman comes.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
That would be more fitting.
It's crazy that Zack didn't do that with Batman, just chucking people off buildings. It's insane.
We're friendly. Oh, my. Yep. Nope.
Yeah.
But that's all I got as far as news. How about you?
That's all I've got.
That's all I got? All right, which movie do you want to do first?
Well, we'll go in order of the movies I saw. So the...
Okay.
Where we left off, I saw Finding Dory. And just as a side caveat, we got some fan mail from a loyal listener, and he suggested that we do kind of what we did with Spider-Man, where we went through the Spider-Man movies, but with the Pixar movies, and talk about, you know, which ones we like the best and kind of go through the ups and downs of that company. That's something we're both very interested in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know when we'll get around to it because movies keep coming out and whatever, but we'll definitely do it.
Yes, that's definitely a show that... we both love to do. We both have a lot to say. We loved Pixar. We're not... I don't want to say that we're crazy about where they're going as far as Disney's ownership.
We're mostly crazy with Cars 3. That's what we're into.
That and Toy Story 4.
And 5 and 6. Bring it on.
Well, yeah, because that's what we're all about now.
Yeah, yeah. But no, but we'll do that.
Yes. Thank you so much for your input.
Yeah. And for for anybody who knows us, I know we used to say this every week, but we'd set up a way to contact us. But anybody who knows us, you can contact us through Facebook or whatever. And please do. Tell us what you want to hear us talk about. If there's a movie that you like, even if it's an old movie, tell us. Chances are one of us have seen it or one of us is willing to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about it. Because, yeah, I'm excited for summer to be over when we can start talking more about older stuff. And
absolutely.
Whatever. Anyway, Finding Dory.
Finding Dory, all right.
So you didn't see this. You've only seen...
I've only seen Finding Nemo, and I loved Finding Nemo. It's been 13 years. Just learned this. It was in 2003 that Finding Nemo came out. 13 years now, and they're finally doing a sequel. I wasn't hoping for a sequel. I wasn't excited for a sequel when they came out with the trailer for it. It had a few chuckle moments. Mm-hmm. I was thoroughly impressed with some of the animation. Like,
yeah, that was groundbreaking when that came out.
So impressive. Mm-hmm. So I can tip my hat to that. But as far as just storytelling and movie making, it did not look impressive, and it didn't look like it was going to stand up to its predecessor.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to keep this like as spoiler-free as I can. Which is kind of hard because the trailers didn't spoil much, so I might give away some things. But the premise this time around, it picks up right, like, I think a year-ish after Finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, the beginning of the movie, the prologue, leads directly into Finding Nemo. Like, it ends with scenes from Finding Nemo, and then the movie begins. But the premise this time around is that Dory's been living with Marlin and Nemo, and she is... kind of a burden on them because she has this mental disability, for lack of a better word. But they love her and they kind of keep her around. And she's starting to get memories back of where she came from, which is a thing that is never explained in the first movie. They don't even really bother going there, wondering where she really came from.
Yeah.
But she starts having these kind of flashbacks to her childhood and the fact that she had parents at one point and somehow became separated from them. She doesn't know where they are. She kind of learns their names eventually, but like she doesn't know where they are, who they are, how to get back, but she becomes sort of obsessed to the annoyance of Marlin and Nemo with finding her parents, and because she wants them to help, and Marlin is like, I'm not doing this, like I did this to save my son, but Nemo's like, you did this for me, and she helped, let's help her, and that's kind of the movie. So they go off on this adventure. Yeah, look, it's fine. And I think that's what I said on my Facebook.
Yeah,
I
said, it was the shortest review you've given, and typically you can give some pretty loaded reviews.
Yeah, I said, look, guys, it's fine. It's fine, I guess. It's fine, I guess. It's fine. Like,
pretty much that was it, yeah.
That, because that's kind of how I felt about it. The animation, once again, is fantastic. It's amazing how good the first Finding Nemo's animation was, and this is still light years ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the story itself is just, it felt really jammed into me. Like, nothing really flowed well. It just kind of felt like a series of sequences,
mm-hmm.
which is how the first one was. But in the first one, I felt like each sequence either was entertaining or served to kind of flesh out these characters in some way that you hadn't previously seen.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's where Finding Nemo's biggest strength is that its characters are really fleshed out, and they have faults as well as strengths, and they grow, and it's great.
It's a Pixar movie.
Yeah, this, I can't say that, I guess, because mm-hmm. I didn't feel that anybody really grew.
Mm-hmm.
Dory does, I guess, ostensibly because she's slowly learning about herself.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, she's always inhibited by this mental problem that she has, her short-term memory loss, and which is fine, but as a character, she doesn't really seem to grow.
Mm-hmm.
She just kind of gets what she wants, I guess, eventually, or to some extent, she gets closure.
Yeah.
And my biggest problem is that it was just boring. Like, mm-hmm. and I was telling you this off mic that
yeah,
I didn't laugh, I don't even think once. There was one part that I found really hilarious, but it was ruined by one of the trailers, so I'd already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, my theater was almost completely silent. There was no laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel sad in the sad parts, which is something Pixar is great at doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but yeah. I will say kids felt sad in the sad parts. There were kids through the whole movie going, Mom, I don't want to see this. I don't like this.
Mm. Oh, geez.
Because I think it goes to some really dark places, but they're not dark in a way that's earned or effective, at least not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when it ended, look, I wasn't mad that I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't even really disappointed because I wasn't expecting anything, but it just wasn't that good. It was really, really weak for Pixar, in my opinion. And it got to the point where I've always appreciated Pixar going to those dark places and those sad places.
Right.
But it's getting to the point where it's just a formula for them. Like, they just do it.
Absolutely.
It got to the point where I was predicting every, single terrible thing that would happen along this journey
mm-hmm.
because it's just what they do. And then I didn't feel anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess if you're entirely oblivious to any tropes of storytelling whatsoever, you'll probably think it's amazing. But, like, for me, it wasn't cute, it wasn't sad, it wasn't funny, it just kind of was a movie. And it wasn't terrible, but it certainly doesn't deserve to be part of the legacy of what Finding Nemo was. And I'm not even that hot on that movie,
yeah.
But it's amazing, objectively and compared to this. So
mm-hmm.
That's Finding Dory, guys. I don't think it's that great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's better than the next movie I saw.
Which was
Independence Day Resurgence.
Okay. Well, now this one, you went and did the double feature, didn't you?
I did, yeah. We were so there like all day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I hate when theaters do that side note. I'm never big on them doing this.
Oh, really?
Big, long. I hate movie marathons. Like,
I love
it's
them.
Like weeks apart. There's like, okay, like every Friday we're gonna watch a different movie in the series, and then climax at the end. I can't sit down and binge watch movies.
If it's actually in the theater, I love them. I hate doing it with friends and family.
Sure,
but like I did it for The Dark Knight Rises, where I saw the whole Batman trilogy that day. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it a few other times, and I did it in my house with Star Wars alone. Mm-hmm. I did it with this because I didn't remember Independence Day, and I've always said that I don't like Independence Day, but
yeah.
I'm really bad at defending that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see it, so I was fresh on everything, and I'm glad I did, because there were a lot of characters that I would not have had any idea who they were if I'd just gone into this fresh. But anyway, first I'll just say about Independence Day, I still don't like it. It's not a good movie, guys. Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich, they were the Michael Bay of the 90s, even though Michael Bay was around in the 90s. Like, they're not good. Their movies are just a bunch of action, really stupid jokes. They're sexist. They're just dumb. They're not good movies. That said, and I said this when the movie ended, I said, look, it's bad. It's really bad. But I've since kind of thought about it, and I can see why Independence Day was a big deal, and I can see why people still like it today. because there are things about it that are really iconic. Mm-hmm. And I will say, as much as I didn't like it, I was entertained. Like, I watched it. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's not like I was like, oh, turn it off.
Yeah.
Like, I was interested to some degree. And so I'll give it to people. People who like it, look, if you love it, I think there's something wrong with you. That movie's not meant to be taken seriously. But, like, if you don't take it seriously and you think it's fun, great. Like, I see where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That said, Independence Day Resurgence is terrible. It's just awful.
Yeah.
It picks up however many years it's been since 1996 or 1997.
Was it like 20 years is what they were talking about?
Whatever.
All
right. It picks up a lot of the old characters are back. A lot of them are not, which is really weird. For example, Will Smith has died. His character is dead. And so is, I don't remember her character's name or her actress, but Jeff Goldblum's wife from the first movie is also dead.
I don't even remember her serving much of a purpose in the first one.
She's like the president's,
it's been a while since
she's
I've
like
seen
the president's like secretary.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. No.
But
yeah,
a bunch of other like really weird peripheral characters are back, like generals from the army scenes. And, like, Brett Spiner, who's Data in Star Trek, and he was, like, a weird scientist in the first Independence Day, he's back, even though he dies in the first one, sort of. And it's weird. Meanwhile, like, the kids, I think, I guess you could say the two main characters, or at least the characters that tie the new characters to the old characters, are the little girl from the first movie who's the president's daughter, and the little boy who is Will Smith's, like, stepson, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they're grown up now, and they're in it. Look, this movie's not even worth explaining. It's just not good. It takes place in this weird future where mankind has, like, kind of cannibalized a bunch of the alien technology. So now we have all the weapons that the aliens had from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
But now the aliens are back with this big ship. It crushes half the planet. Like, it's literally as big as half the planet. And they have this crazy scheme, and it turns out that what the aliens were after in the first movie is not what we thought they were after. And anything that's good in this movie is absolutely just wasted. Like, it doesn't show up enough. There's a really interesting side plot that some of the aliens were left on Earth after the first movie, mm-hmm. and fought this, like, decade-long war in Africa with these, like, African warlords. That stuff's all really cool. It doesn't pay off. It's not used enough. Really dumb. There may or may not be other alien races in this movie that are disappointing and stupid. And it ends with this almost, like, it's like it breaks the fourth wall. Like, a character does all but look out at the audience and go, get ready for Independence Day 3, which isn't going to happen. I mean, it took this movie how long to get made? And no one likes this new movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just don't see it happening. And even Roland Emmerich, he immediately signed up to do a new movie, but it's not Independence Day 3. It's this movie called Moonfall about the moon falling into Earth.
Wow.
Great. Anyway, it's terrible.
I'm getting all over again.
It's really, really bad.
How did it do, like, story-wise? Like, storytelling?
Bad. Terrible. Oh, bad. The story, it's hard to follow.
Uh-huh.
And the parts that you do follow are either pointless or they're so stupid. You're just like, what? Like, they'll have this problem. I'll just say, like, in the end, they have this problem. Earth is going to pretty much be destroyed in, like, and there's, like, a countdown till, like, everybody is dead. Literally. And they have this plan where if you destroy this one thing, all the other aliens will just give up. Which
was the exact premise of the first one.
Except in the first one, they blew up the ship. They killed the aliens. This is like, no, literally, like, if we just take out this one thing, the other aliens will literally give up. Like, they'll just stop, even though they're literally 10 seconds away from reaching their goal, according to our countdown clock. Stuff like that happens all the time. And you're just like, what? But the rest of the time, it's almost impossible to follow. There's way too many characters, and tons of stuff doesn't make sense. You're not sure why. Like, for example, Jeff Goldblum in the first movie, he, like, worked for a cable company, and he was, like, this hippie.
Yeah.
But in this movie, he starts out, and you're not really sure what he is. They call him a counselor, I believe, or, like, an ambassador of some kind. But you're not really sure why or what until, like, much later on.
Mm-hmm.
There's, what's his name? Is it Liam Hemsworth? Is he the younger one?
Yeah.
You're not very clear on him for a while, and I don't know. It's just not good. It's really, really dumb. And it's even harder to follow because it's not a world that we're used to.
Yeah.
The first Independence Day is our world, circa mid-1990s.
Mm-hmm.
This is not our... This is a world with hover ships and moon bases and Saturn bases and all sorts of weird crap that is just no good. It's really stupid.
How's the character development?
Bad. It's just bad. Like, all of it. Like, there's these characters you care about from the old movies, they just kill off? Like it's no big deal? In just these horrible ways that you're just like, what? And new characters, you also just don't know what they are or where they stand on anything. There's a character that is friends with the characters from the old movies that I am certain is not actually in the first movie. And if he is, I forgot it. And I literally had seen it like 5 minutes before this one started. He dies and it's supposed to be like all sad. But it, like, you're just like, who is this? Like, what is even happening? It's so bad.
Visually.
Also bad.
Really?
Really bad CGI, yeah. Like, really bad. I was shocked.
I've noticed that lately with some of the big blockbusters. Like, it'll have really good CGI 1 minute, and then
yeah.
some random scene in there is just like, you guys didn't even try on that one.
Oh, yeah, no. And this is one thing that I know watching the first one first, like, hurt my experience of the second one. Because the first one's special effects, they're 90s, but they're still pretty cool in a way. Either cool in a novelty way, or they literally are cool. This, just everything just looks fake. It just looked like a cartoon the whole time. The entire time. And there's like this whole side plot involving Jeff Goldblum's dad, who was in the first movie, and he hasn't aged at all somehow, but that's how it is. Anyway, there's this whole plot involving him that literally has nothing to do with the movie. Like, you think it'll lead up to something? Like, they'll all meet up with the other... No. Like, it just occasionally stops and goes and sees him because he's still around. So, why wouldn't we want to see him?
Naturally.
Yeah, it's bad. Oh, it's so stupid. It's terrible.
It wasn't
funny. It wasn't cool. It was just terrible. Just awful.
Just a money grab.
Yep. Yeah. Really, really bad.
Disappointing.
Yes. All right. No, not disappointing for me, but yeah, it was bad. Okay, we continue in this marathon here?
Yep.
Okay, after that I saw the BFG.
All right.
And it's a movie I'm torn on because...
You read the book.
Yeah, I read the book.
You're a big fan of
the book. Yeah, one of my favorites as a kid. And I would say overall it's a very faithful adaptation of that book. And in that sense, everyone should be very, very happy. And it's in the hands of Steven Spielberg, who's one of the greatest living directors.
No, I had a beef with that one, like in earlier podcasts of Spielberg. I haven't seen a lot of his stuff lately. Like, he's done some projects, but I've just not. They haven't been the big blockbuster, grab your attention.
Yeah, thing. That's what I was going to say.
This one was a bit more
Spielberg and in spotlight. I think the last time we talked about this, I didn't articulate it very well. The thing about Spielberg is his movies are still good, they're just not necessarily movies I want to see. If that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, he makes War Horse, and it's still fantastic as far as how it's made, but I just don't really care about that story.
Yeah.
As much as I care about Jurassic Park or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, this is back to kind of doing something that's more for the masses. And look, it's good. We need more kids' movies like this, I think. That are well-made, that have kind of a heart to them. The acting of the two main characters, of the BFG himself and of the main little girl, some of the best I've seen probably all year. Really good. And their relationship is the core of the movie, and it's great. But the problem is, for me, is that everything else is extremely slow and boring. Even if it's well done, he brought that kind of the War Horse sensibility rather than a Jurassic Park sensibility, or even a Hook sensibility, and I hate Hook. But, like, the pacing just felt really slow for a kid's movie, and I felt that a lot of the kids in our showing seemed a little bored. They were still into it, but they were a little bored.
Well, now, is this something that's caused because a lot of our the main blockbusters or movies that we're getting today are just like in your face stimulus.
It's some of that, but really the thing going, is,
this is something that Spielberg's trying to slow things down and to enjoy being in this world.
Yeah, he is doing that, but my problem is even for me, it felt very slow. There's long stretches of just kind of pausing and no music and no really anything happening, like just staring at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's good, but it feels a little weird in this movie.
Sure.
And this is kind of what it comes down to for me, is that Spielberg is a great filmmaker, but I don't think he was the filmmaker for the BFG.
Why?
Because I've thought about every other Roald Dahl movie that's been adapted to film. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach, Fantastic Mr. Fox. There's another one that I can't recall. It's going to make me feel bad. Oh, Matilda.
Uh-huh.
Those movies all have the pacing of a Roald Dahl book. They're really wacky. They're fast. They throw out just weird stuff like it's no big deal, and it's great. And Steven Spielberg, I think, is a little too grounded to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's things in this movie that are great, like the BFG. He's quick to throw out weird Roald Dahl words like, you know, whiz poppers and swarf liggers and things like that. Like, there's a lot of that, which is cool. But the world itself is just not fun. Like, it's too boring. It's our world. And I don't think that serves as well as, say, the real world in James and the Giant Peach, which is sort of a weird cartoon version of the real world.
Yeah.
Or even the real world in the Tim Burton Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I love, because it's the real world, but it's weird enough that, you know, Willy Wonka is this real guy there, and he's a real celebrity, and so it makes it okay when they go into his factory and it's all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Fantastic Mr. Fox is like, just weird, and it's great.
It is a very weird movie, but I have seen it,
But this is not weird enough. And the scenes that are weird feel really out of place for me. So, look, it gets a pass from me. And I think if you've read the books and you love it, go see it. Absolutely go see it. If you just remember fondly what the book was, go see it. If you're interested in all or interested in it at all, I'd say why not? You know, for an afternoon or whatever. Go see it. But if you literally have no interest in it, it's a hard one for me to recommend, because it, like I said, it's just so slow.
Yeah.
And kind of a little too methodical, I feel like.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird when a strength is also a weakness, but that's how I feel about this movie. So.
How do you feel that it did visually with giants and our world and size? And
you know what? It looks really weird. I hate that CGI look that like Alice in Wonderland has and stuff like that. And this has that look, and it looks CG. It doesn't look real.
Yeah.
But it's really impressive how well the little girl does in that CGI world. Like, you really do feel like she's there, even though you know it's fake and it doesn't look real enough to convince you.
Yeah.
Her chemistry with all the other giants and stuff is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. And she's an incredible actor. So, yeah. You know. And the guy who plays the BFG, I feel so bad. I don't remember actor names very well. But I think he just won an Oscar. And
Dang.
Yeah. But no, he's really good as well. Very, very, very heartfelt and funny and great. But yeah, so it's kind of a weird mixed bag for me. But overall, I'd say it gets a pass. I liked it. It's just hard for me to like put my heart on my sleeve and say everyone else should like it too.
Yeah.
Because I see it does have problems.
Sure. All right.
Anyway. But now the movie that we've both seen.
Yes. I don't see as many movies as Anthony because I can't. So I have to be very selective of which ones I want to go see. This one, The Legend of Tarzan, I have been incredibly eager.
He's a big Tarzan fan.
I am.
We've had many a conversation about this.
Indeed. I try to figure out what it is. I've realized that I've just always had that love of Tarzan. Like, one of my biggest dreams that I know I'll never get is being able to own a pet animal.
A gorilla?
That could kill me. But it's like my best friend. So, like, owning a bear, a tiger, a gorilla, something just crazy, some awesome like that. And Tarzan is that in essence. He is friends with all these animals. He can talk to the animals. He can swing through the jungle. He's just all around super cool. I loved the Disney interpretation. I've watched some of the old Tarzan TV show episodes. My dad has a bunch of those. I went through them.
Yeah, the old black and white ones. I've watched those with you before.
I love Tarzan, so I was really eager to see this one. And I did.
Okay. Do you want to say how you felt, first of all, just so we can set the tone here?
I was let down.
You were let down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say this is one I don't recommend, personally.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how I can describe the plot, because it does seem very convoluted. So, it starts out, Tarzan is now, I don't even know his name, Lord...
He's John Clayton, Lord of Greystoke.
Yes, the third. So he has left the jungle. He is now living in England with Jane, married to Jane, and living the life of a lord, and has no interest of going back to the jungle.
And he's a celebrity. Like, the Tarzan that we know has already happened,
mm-hmm.
and they brought it back. So presumably he came back to civilization and was something of an oddity and immediately fell into the spotlight.
Yes.
And presumably it made him very famous. It got him a lot of influence. People love him. Mm-hmm. But he resents that life in many ways.
Yes.
And we talked about this before. I think this is something this movie did really well, mm-hmm. is that growing up in the jungle, raised by weird apes, would suck. And he seems to think it sucked.
Yeah.
Jane, on the other hand, she loves Africa. Yes. She had a very different experience, obviously. Her parents were missionaries.
They were missionaries that went and taught English in schools. So mm-hmm. Jane grew up in Africa just as much as Tarzan did, just a different setting.
Yeah.
So she loves it and wants to go back. Tarzan has no interest of going
And back who could blame him?
At all.
Because he's fought animals his whole life and warlords and it's been bad.
He knows a very different Africa.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm trying... When I think about how to describe this movie and plot lines, it's like I'm trying not to give too much away. But
I think we can kind of just stop there. Something happens that
he goes
gets
back.
Him pulled back.
Yes.
The government asks him to go back. He reluctantly has to. Jane mm-hmm. goes with him. It turns out the whole thing is kind of a trap for him.
Pretty much a setup, yeah.
From his old enemies.
Uh-huh.
And some new ones.
And so Jane...
And that's kind of the plot.
Yeah. Jane gets kidnapped and he has to kind of reintroduce himself into that world that he has tried so hard to absolve himself from, of becoming Tarzan again.
Yeah.
And living that animalistic life to save her.
Yeah. And to save everyone else.
Exactly.
So I guess my thing with this movie is, I think, I don't know if you used this word, I think you did, but I don't know, but like, convoluted. This movie is not, at least I didn't feel this was like a layman Tarzan movie.
No.
Because I've taken like college courses and I've studied some Tarzan books and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So to me,
so you got into more of the literature and background.
This made total sense to me because it starts out with exactly what I'd read in the books. He's John Clayton III, Lord of Greystoke, married to Jane, living in England, like, and everyone, he's like a hero, both at home because they know him through kind of weird kind of pulp fiction that's been published in the papers. Although mm-hmm. interesting fact, they were called Penny Dreadfuls back in the day. Anyway,
how about that?
And then he's a hero back in Africa because he's helped all of these tribes and
mm-hmm.
He's even sort of a hero to the animals, I guess. In the books, he is. It didn't totally come across in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So this made sense to me, but I feel like it's very confusing for a lot of people. I've seen a lot of my Facebook friends who haven't even seen the movie asking questions like, I looked at the casting. Why is he named Clayton? Isn't that the bad guy? Because in the Disney Tarzan, Clayton is the villain.
Right, yeah.
And I think it's a little confusing that way. And I think it's also, this movie's a bummer because its main story is really interesting, the setup, but I think the payoff was not. Because he didn't seem to me, all that resentment of what Africa was to him
mm-hmm.
is gone once he gets there.
Yeah.
Like, he just goes right back to it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like that meant anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I feel about this whole movie. I feel like every single thing that happened doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. There's a conflict. I don't want to spoil it, but there's a conflict with a warlord that the whole movie is centered around
mm-hmm.
that doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, there were several moments. Like, this, my biggest problem.
There's a fight with a gorilla that doesn't go anywhere?
That is my biggest problem, actually, is all of his interactions with animals. Like, I love Tarzan specifically because of his interaction with animals. Like, he can talk to the animals. He gets along with them. Like, this, they even talk about this in the movie, of his control that he has over the animals. This innate ability he has that animals trust him and listen to him
mm-hmm.
and will do what he says.
Yeah.
And they don't have that. No. Literally, any animal that they have in this movie does nothing for the story. It is randomly in there. Like, the whole fight, like, in the trailers that they show of him fighting the ape is the most random thing.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm here, I'm going to fight you. Nothing happens after that.
No.
Yeah. And it's just like, what purpose did that serve? And any other time that he comes across to animals,
yeah,
it is random of, oh, lions.
Yeah.
Oh, elephants. Oh, hippos. He doesn't interact with them at all.
Sure.
And afterwards, you're just like, what was the point of
that? But it's not just the animals. It's any sequence. That he's not in the hippo sequence.
He's not.
Why does that scene even happen?
I do not know. I was so frustrated with that.
It's just
like
they were like,
bugged me more than anything.
It's just like they were like, we need hippos in this movie.
Yes.
Do this hippo scene.
It serves no purpose.
Same with the gorilla scene. There's an elephant scene. There's a...
ostrich.
There's an ostrich scene.
There's a lion, and they kind of have...
The lions are cool, though. I like...
Explain that later.
Yeah. I liked that lion scene. He goes up and nuzzles him. I thought that was kind of cool.
See, like, the sequences themselves, like, with him interacting with animals, I loved.
Oh, yeah,
I loved his interaction with animals.
Context-wise.
Yes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But as far as the story goes, it served no purpose.
Sure.
And was just, like, why did that even happen? Like, there were several moments throughout the movie that were just... gems, I felt. Like,
mm-hmm.
his interactions with animals, like, mm-hmm. in and of themselves, phenomenal. And he himself, before he even gets down to Africa, he has all these, while he has striven to absolve himself of Africa and everything Tarzan and to live as Greystoke,
yeah,
he still has these innate habits,
yeah,
of just, like, they're so subtle and, like, if you blink, you miss them kind of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, let's... If there's anything good in this movie, he is great and Jane is great.
Absolutely.
His portrayal of Tarzan is so subtle and so nuanced, but it's so right.
Nails it. Yes. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Even
I
his physique is fantastic.
He's a beautiful human.
And, oh, shit. Yeah. And then Jane, yeah, Margot Robbie.
Oh, jeez.
Amazing.
So good. I loved both of their characters.
Yeah.
And they did such a good job, especially like with the just little subtle things. Loved. But the problem was, is that...
It's the movie they're in. Is bad.
Yeah.
It's not a good
movie.
The
whole thing together, it didn't work. They had some great gems.
Here's a question I have.
Well.
You know the flashbacks? There's flashbacks throughout the movie that show kind of him meeting Jane.
Sure.
The story that we kind of know already
yeah.
going into this. For me, I liked those scenes better than everything that was in the movie.
Really?
I every time they showed those, I thought, look, I know I've seen that movie before. But I still would rather watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
With it had more emotion to it.
It did.
It was more straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't just feel like a big convoluted mess.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt bad. Like, on one hand, I sort of was like, oh, this is cool that it's sort of this weird sequel and they don't bother really going into the origins. But then when they did go into his origins, I was like, this is better. I wish it was this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, that is definitely where the emotion comes from, is
yeah.
in the flashbacks, not so much our current day situation that they're trying to portray. It didn't have a whole lot of emotion to it.
How about...
It definitely has a darker tone, though. Like, that, if anything,
yes.
that is, like, a forewarning that anyone who wants to go see this movie, this is not the Disney version of Tarzan. My
no.
wife went and saw this and was shocked because it wasn't the happy-go-lucky friendly
yeah.
gorillas.
Like,
no, these are animals that will kill
yeah, that's
you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Don't get me wrong. This isn't, like, the gritty Tarzan.
No.
But... And not by any means. This is very campy.
But
it's... Yeah, it's not Disney. This is not a musical. These animals
there's
are not
no
friends.
There's no trash in the camp. Yeah,
no,
like,
there's not.
No.
These
do a good
will kill
job
you.
Of... These are, like, real animals.
Yeah. And these humans are actually bad guys. Like, they
yes.
do some actually despicable things.
Yeah.
Another problem I had with this movie is... And I went into this a lot on my Facebook feed and kind of lost people, I feel like. But... This movie spent a lot of time trying to navigate the mostly racial but also sexist problems that those Tarzan books have, because Belgian takeover of the Congo is one of the worst human rights violations ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's horrifying when you read about what these guys did and what the indigenous peoples in Africa went through,
mm-hmm.
and the land itself went through, basically being raped for diamonds and things.
Mm-hmm.
This movie does a lot to kind of tip their hat to the true history of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's almost entirely why Samuel L. Jackson's character was there.
Yes.
It felt like any time it got a little racist or weird, he was there to either, like, level it out, to either point that out, Or he was there so that if you felt uncomfortable in the audience, you'd kind of think, well, he's okay with it, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
But the first scene in particular, they're talking about colonizing the Congo, these British lords, and they're saying, we can provide jobs to the natives. And literally, Samuel Jackson is sitting in the corner, like, leaning up against a table or something, and, like, looks at the camera, cocks his eyebrow, like, yeah, right, you idiots, kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
It got so annoying to me.
Yeah.
To the point that I just felt like, why are you making this movie? If it's this, if you have to apologize this much for what this movie is, don't make it. Because there was no demand for a Tarzan movie ever in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
If it's this like cringeworthy for you, you either shouldn't have made this movie, or even better, don't do this story about about Belgian Congo.
Yeah.
Do something else. Again, the origin story would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something I found very obnoxious.
His character,
and he's just constantly cracking jokes, and you're just like, shut up.
When I talked to my dad about his character, and he brought up a good point that he is a modern day character placed back in Tarzan's time.
They all are. Like, he is, Jane is, all the good characters are, because it was a horrifying time in history.
Uh-huh.
But that's what I'm saying is so annoying about it.
But that just feels like
it.
That's what his narrative is, and anything that he has to say is a modern day view, and it's like, he would not actually be thinking that.
But that's my point. I appreciate the thought. I think it's necessary to do this kind of movie. It's just that it was never ending. And it's what you said. That's all he was.
Yeah.
He didn't help. He didn't do anything.
He couldn't do anything.
He was just there to go, like,
yeah.
Racism, guys. Kind of a thing.
See, like, that's the thing. Is like, while, yeah, in and of itself, the narrative of what they're trying to portray of this terrible time in history, I didn't feel like this movie really needed a Samuel L. Jackson character. Like, I felt like it did a fairly well job of what they are doing to the people of the Congo is bad. That's why Tarzan is going to try to stop this.
I agree with that to
like
a point.
Like, maybe back in London, like, when they're saying, like, we're going to do schools and blah, blah, blah,
that's
blah.
What I'm saying. That's where
that makes sense. Yeah, like, that could serve a purpose. But when he's, like, actually there, no, Tarzan is fighting them because they
are I think he served a dual purpose of, one, being the modern voice, but, two, also being someone who's there on screen that makes me go, like, well, I guess if he's okay with it.
Yeah.
Because there were a few moments that I felt a little cringeworthy, even. I was like, okay, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I just found him very obnoxious. I found all of the characters other than Tarzan and Jane and a lot of the, like, indigenous people. They were cool, too. But other than that, pretty obnoxious.
Yeah.
But do you know what scene I did like? I really loved, there's an action sequence about midway through where they are swinging around and there's a train. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Awesome. I love that part.
Yeah.
And he's just whooping on people.
See,
he like kicks a dude through like a wall.
He does.
Like, awesome.
See, like that, those are some of the things that I felt they really did well. Cause a person, and this is something that I really loved with this movie that they portrayed, was a person who grew up in the jungle, a person like, if Tarzan really did exist, he would have the crap kicked out of him. And they show him getting beaten up by gorillas and really just broken bones, beaten up, smashed in school. Like, it'd be hard to survive, but he does. And because of that, he is, you know, tough as nails. The guy is stronger than others. And that was one of the scenes that they did where he's not portrayed as a superhero. Like, he does have his vulnerable moments.
Sure, yeah.
Where they get the better of him. But there are other moments, like on the train, where he's beating people up, where it's like, that is something that would be like, he is stronger than your average man. Like, probably the best scene, he goes to Jane when she's on the tree,
and he just pulls himself up like one arm,
one hand. It's just like, that is realistic. It's not too fantastical to...
Well, and that's something else I really liked about this. It's not just that he grew up in the jungle. It's that he grew up not as a human at all. Because he doesn't feel... He feels out of place in London just as much as he does amongst the tribes that he lived around in Africa.
Yes.
He doesn't fit with people. He's always got this like really animalistic part of him that is sometimes very dangerous and other times is just benevolent. But and that's why I really liked the lion sequence where he's butting up the lions. It was weird, but it was like, it showed, like, and he looked sad doing it, like, this is what I am. This weird animal man. But it was good. That movie,
like,
just,
and that's what I feel like made that movie like as good as it was, because story-wise, I wasn't a fan of the story because you're right, it was so convoluted. They only had like sequences in mind and they just kind of smashed it all together. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like they really took their time to get us a good, strong story. Because I don't feel like their idea was wrong of like, hey, let's do a Tarzan who has to go back to the Congo. Like, how about that with flashbacks to an origin?
Yep.
I think that idea was great.
Yep.
I just don't feel it was flushed out as well as it needed to
that,
be. Yeah,
that script just needed a few more drafts.
Absolutely.
And it was, and it's exactly, yeah, exactly. I felt it was so close, but it's that weird close where it's so close that it's so far away.
That's almost uncomfortable. Yes. You're just like,
yes.
Why didn't this work? Because they have all these gems in this movie that's just like, that's Tarzan. This is great. This is what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends and it doesn't work anymore. So story-wise, you have this convoluted mess, so it doesn't work. But those gems, I feel like they're good enough that if you are a Tarzan fan or at least enjoy Tarzan to some extent, it can carry you through the movie and you'll have a good time. It's not as good as, like I said, it was a bit of a letdown because I'm such a huge fan of Tarzan.
That's what I was going to say. I kind of have the same recommendation I have with BFG, only not favorably. But if you're interested in Tarzan, and I don't mean just the Disney movie, I have a hard time recommending this to people who just have seen the Disney movie. But you have seen other Tarzan movies, the old ones. Like, you're familiar with it. I've seen some of those. I'm familiar with the novels. I did not regret seeing it at all. It was, it's kind of long, but
it does.
I didn't regret it. It's just that it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Mm-hmm. Weird movie.
I definitely think I would like a sequel that I would hope that they would put more of an effort into.
There's no way. Oh, I know what I said.
I loved Jane and I loved Tarzan and I would love to see more, like their relationship in this movie, like character-wise.
Cool.
I love them. Mm-hmm. The actor and actress that were cast in these roles, phenomenal. And they did a wonderful job with these characters. And I would love to see more of that. I thought he did a great job as Tarzan and really captured his character well. So did Jane. I want more of that.
Yep.
I just wish they would do a better job.
Yeah, of everything else. Did you think the CGI was good? It was way all over the place.
It was. Like, one minute, it would be a super close-up of an animal and just be like, oh, that is gorgeous. And then the next minute is like, what the heck am I looking at here? Mm-hmm. But then they also have like these sweeping landscapes.
But those are in camera. Those are great.
Yeah. It felt like some were real and some were just CGI. I don't know. It goes into like what I said earlier of like with some of our big movies now, they have such good sequences of beautiful CGI that you can't tell is CGI. And then the cartoonish, like cheap, what you're seriously trying to pass that off.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were times where they tried to show the colony.
A
sweeping landscape of the settlements on the shore that I was just
of the Belgian docks.
I was like, you gotta be kidding.
Yep. Right? That's exactly the scene I'm thinking of.
You're seriously trying to pass that to me.
Yeah.
Don't even, why put that in there? Yeah. So CGI wise, has
really all over.
Yeah.
But that's how the story was. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's just not enough good to make me say it's good, but maybe not for everyone.
Yeah.
The way I can with BFG. This is just like, there's a lot of good, but you really got to be interested or else it's not good at all.
You won't be crazy about it. So that's characters, it's visual, story. Yeah, overall, you got to really be interested.
And there's not really, I don't think there's anything to talk about spoiler-wise, really.
No, there were just little subtle things that aren't very important to discuss.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's it.
So those are all our movies. I think we're caught up now. What are our upcoming movies?
So I was just telling you this Ghostbusters comes out this week, and I had no idea.
Central Intelligence came out. I still haven't seen that. I've heard good things.
I've heard good things from that as well.
Yeah.
So for me, on my list, I've got Ghostbusters next week, or this week, I guess, rather.
Uh-huh.
The week after that, Star Trek. And the week after that is Jason Bourne. But I also think I might go check out Batman Killing Joke. I think I might go see that in theaters.
Yeah.
Because they just added a bunch of showings to it, and there are a lot of open ones, and I'm like,
They're not just doing the one night.
No, I'm saying like there's more theaters showing.
Oh.
Yeah. So gotcha. I might go see that. But those should be good, and I think the week after Jason Bourne is Suicide Squad.
All right, so we got some big titles
coming
up for you guys.
And The Founder, that McDonald's movie that I said I was excited about once. I think I'll see that.
You do that.
I will.
I won't do that.
You going to see any of these, do you think?
Born, I probably will see.
Okay, yeah.
Suicide Squad is up there. Central Intelligence is one I definitely want to see. So at least those three. Star Trek, I'm still so... I don't care enough. So probably in order, it'd probably be Jason Bourne, Central Intelligence, and whatever that third, Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that'd be cool
as
if you saw...
Like order of what...
That'd be cool if you saw Central Intelligence, since I won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, looking good. All right.
All right. We got some great movies lined up for you guys. Make sure to check in later for our reviews. We'll do our best. We're starting to get a rhythm with this whole baby thing going on. See what we can do to pop out these podcasts a little more frequently for you. Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on iTunes. Tell your friends. Remember, if you know us, message us on Facebook. If you don't know us, find us on Facebook and message any Austin or Anthony that you know.
Just like anybody. But like I said, just if there's a movie you want to know our take on, please ask. Because chances are we want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we just won't remember.
Absolutely.
You got to tell us.
So you let us know. Thanks again for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.